There is a particular Bible phrase related to the Holy Spirit which speaks a great deal about the nature of something we call the anointing. The phrase is, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon a man or a woman." And amazingly, it's not just a New Testament phrase. It actually appears numerous times in the Old Testament. Let's consider that special day when God sent the prophet Samuel to Jesse's house, telling him that he would find the next king of Israel there. After the older brothers were inspected and rejected, the youngest boy, David, was called. Instantly, God confirmed that this was the man of his choosing. Samuel took out his horn of oil and poured the oil over David's head, symbolizing the power of the Holy Spirit that would come upon him to lead the nation of Israel. And next, the Bible says something you rarely hear preached about or taught about, even though it is incredibly significant. The Bible tells us, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." Here is where it all began for David. Here is where he first becomes acquainted with the Holy Spirit and became a vessel fit for God's service. And notice that it does not say that David got a one-time anointing. The Spirit of the Lord began coming upon David from then on, day after day, battle after battle, decision after decision. From then on, David was not alone in his many struggles. The Holy Spirit began coming upon him, directing him, empowering him, and inspiring him. David became a man filled with the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that had ceased coming upon Saul was now coming upon David. Mighty Samson was another Old Testament hero who knew what it was to have the Holy Spirit come upon him. In the book of Judges, we read how Samson was walking alongside a field, minding his own business, when he was attacked by a lion. The Bible says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand." Once again, we find the phrase, "came upon him." Suddenly, Samson was filled with a surge of divine power, and that lion was no match for him. Grabbing the lion by the jaws, which is not normally what you would do with a lion, young Samson ripped the hapless beast apart and killed it on the spot. This was more than just a man who worked out a lot in the gym. This was a man called by God as a warrior and empowered to do miraculous things as the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Gideon was also a leader of Israel who had the Holy Spirit come upon him. When God called him to rise up, put together an army in Israel, and overthrow their oppressors, the cruel Midianites, the Bible says, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet, and the Abizrites gathered behind him." What we are talking about in these three examples is supernatural divine enablement. David, Samson, and Gideon did not become great leaders because they hung out at the library and read everything they could about the 7 or the 10 or 12 principles of effective leadership. Nor was their leadership due to their superior intelligence, strength, or ambition. They became effective as leaders, highly effective, incredibly effective, supernaturally effective, because the Holy Spirit came upon them. Or to say it another way, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Christians today nearly all know the Holy Spirit as an indwelling Spirit who guides us, teaches us, and comforts us. And he does all this to be sure. But sometimes we forget that he is a filler and an empowerer. Just as he came upon David, Samson, Gideon, and others, he desires to come upon us today to make us supernaturally effective in the calling of God for our own lives. After Jesus was resurrected, he promised his disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Notice he uses the same exact phrase, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Just as the Old Testament heroes had the Holy Spirit come upon them to empower and enable them to do amazing feats in God's name and to lead Israel, it will be the same for us in our own specific callings. Sometimes this is called having the Spirit come upon you, and sometimes it's referred to as being filled with the Holy Spirit. Both indicate a supernatural surge of power to enable us to do things and be effective in doing things that we would never be able to do ordinarily. The Holy Spirit exercises many different roles in the lives of believers. Two of his major roles are, one, producing his fruit in our lives, such as kindness, gentleness, love, and joy, and two, empowering us to do great and mighty things in Jesus' name. But too often we only focus on the fruit of the Spirit. I have read some people suggest that to be filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by the Spirit, and what they go on to say is that this means he controls our tongues and he helps us to be nice, kind people. But when you read about the Holy Spirit coming upon people in the Bible, it was not simply to make them nice. It was to make them so effective, they became nearly irresistible. In the book of Acts, Peter was brought before the leaders of Israel who were upset with him for having the audacity to minister healing to a lame man in Jesus' name. Peter rose to defend himself, and we read this, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man by what means he's been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." Notice, Peter, in beginning to speak, was said to be filled with the Holy Spirit as he preached Jesus as the Messiah of Israel. Now, when the Bible says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not telling us that Peter got up to preach and became a really, really nice guy. Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit had to do with an incredibly powerful anointing he received to preach Jesus to these haughty leaders of his nation. When Samson was attacked by a lion and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, this is not telling us that suddenly all the fruits of the Spirit appeared in Samson's heart, and he became wonderfully loving, patient, kind, and gentle. No, Samson got filled with the power of God, and he ripped the lion apart. After the apostles in Jerusalem learned that Philip had gone into Samaria and won many souls to Christ, they sent Peter and John to these new believers. Their first concern was whether these fledgling Christians had the Holy Spirit come upon them. The Bible says they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. These freshly baptized disciples surely knew Jesus, but as of yet the Spirit of God had never come upon them, and Peter and John were eager for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just as they were. If someone gave me a shiny, white, brand new car, I'd be proud of it. It would be nice to keep it out in my driveway and let my neighbors see my new gift. But suppose when I tried to start the car, nothing happened. No sounds at all when I turned the key over. And upon further examination, I discovered that this car had no engine in it at all. Where the engine was supposed to be, there was an empty space. What good would such a car be? It might be impressive to look at, for sure, but I could never go anywhere in it. It would remain in my driveway day after day and year after year, and for all its beauty and shininess, it would be essentially useless. Sadly, that's how some Christians are who clean up their lives. They no longer curse. They're not rude. They do not scream at people. They're not obnoxious. They're good, fine people, but as was the case of the Samaritans, the Spirit of the Lord has not fallen upon them. We need the fruit of the Spirit, to be sure, but we also need the power of the Spirit. And the solution for both needs is Jesus Christ. He is the fountain of living waters. He says, "If you're thirsty, come to me and drink." If you're thirsty for the power of God, if you're thirsty for the fruits of the Spirit, if you're thirsty for a meaningful life, it is the same source for all of these things and more. Put your faith in Jesus. Believe that He died on the cross for your sins and that He rose from the dead 3 days later, and then call on Him and look to Him for the filling of the Holy Spirit. He who believes in Me, says Jesus, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.